wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And on the 6th of January 2019, our regular Abandoned Manitoba feature, which is going into its fourth year. Gordon Goldsborough is here from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
Well, so last week you said we would talk about an award presented by the Lieutenant Governor of Manitoba, something to do with history. Tell us more.
Well, in the course of traveling around Manitoba doing what I do, I've met so many people who just do wonderful work raising awareness about history and heritage in their communities. And a few years ago, the Lieutenant Governor saw fit to create an award program called the Lieutenant Governor's Award for Historical Preservation and Promotion. It's given annually to up to five people who have done prolonged, meritorious work in relating to Manitoba's past.
And that's good, because more people should know about this award. We know about the Order of Canada, of course, the Order of Manitoba. How many people have received this award to date?
Well, five people each year for the last 8 years. The program began in 2011 under the former Lieutenant Governor Philip Lee, and so that's 40 in total so far. If anyone's interested in seeing the sorts of people that have received it, they can go to the Historical Society's website, and we've got a list of the people who received it, along with a description of the kinds of things they have done to warrant it.
Yeah, and what kind of work is recognized for this award?
Oh, it's enormously diverse. Touching some of the highlights, it's in things like publications, books, and those sort of things. Stewardship of museums and archives, public education, advocacy, raising awareness, serving on committees or just simply doing community service in relating to history, preserving historic sites, buildings, doing art and media. I mean, the range of things is enormous. Basically, anything that touches on the theme of history and heritage would be eligible.
How does a person receive the award?
Well, each year around this time, the Office of the Lieutenant Governor issues a public call for nominations. In fact, the one from this year just went out just the other day. So a person or a group who thinks they have a worthy nominee submits a nomination on their behalf. And we ask, by the way, that the nominee be kept in confidence. In other words, that the nominee not be told that they are being nominated.
Uh-huh.
This is a procedure that follows the practice that's done for the Order of Manitoba. And the thinking being is that we don't want people to have sort of false expectations. They feel perhaps sometimes if they're nominated that they are going to receive the award. And, well, the reality is we usually get something in the range of about 20 nominations, of which there can be only five. So the success rate is not especially high. So we don't want people to be thinking they're going to get the award simply because they've been nominated. So we ask, please don't tell the person that you're going to nominate that they are being nominated.
Yeah, keep it a surprise. So how do you nominate someone?
There's various parts to a nomination. Okay. There is a form you should fill out. It's available on the MHS website, and it provides basic information like the name, the contact information for the person, and provides some basic details about why the person deserves the award. What kind of work have they done? What period of time have they done it over? Because it is for prolonged service. I emphasize, you know, it needs to be for a fairly lengthy period of time. But then, in addition to that form, there should be at least three letters of support from people who can speak to the specific things the person has done, as well as any additional sort of supporting documentation that might be appropriate, you know, examples of the work they've done and that kind of thing.
So like three kind of reference letters, is what you're saying?
Basically, yeah. And these letters should be as detailed as possible to provide the committee that evaluates these. There is a committee that receives them at the MHS. We go through all the nominations. We make a recommendation to the Lieutenant Governor. And ultimately, it is her honor's choice as to who receives the award.
Ah, how many nominations are received each year, do you think?
Well, it's about 20.
Right.
And we want to spread the word far and wide. In fact, that's part of the reason I want to speak about it today is to raise awareness. And I bet you there's still way more people out there than have ever been nominated. So we're hoping that by raising awareness, we'll get a good representative sample this year.
And possibly people hearing for the first time today, actually.
Absolutely possible, sure.
So what makes for a successful nomination? What's the best way to do it?
Well, okay, so there's two facets to this. First of all is the candidate. You know, the people have to have done work that is appropriate to the kind of award that it is. It's for history and heritage.
Right.
Only living people can be nominated. Unfortunately, if the person has passed away, we won't give it to them. The award is given to individuals and not to groups. In other words, if there was a group of people that together put together a book on the history of a community, only one of them can be nominated, regretfully. So those are some of the aspects of the candidate themselves. In terms of the nomination, we need to clarify the relationship between the nominator, the person who is making the nomination, and the nominee. We've occasionally had cases where it'll be a family member. And although that doesn't disqualify it, it is sort of taken into account. If you're recommending your parent or your sibling for the award, we want to know that. We want to have abundant detail about the person. So, for example, the letters of reference are absolutely critical.
Okay.
The longer, the more detailed the letters are, the better. So, for instance, we sometimes get letters sent from, well, often public officials who will say, oh, this person is very good and they deserve the award. Thank you very much.
Right.
You know, and it'll be like three sentences. And right. that sort of thing is not especially useful.
A quick email.
Well, we frankly want to know the detail. We're making tough decisions. We're having to go through people who are all probably deserving in one way or the other. We have to make the decision as to who gets it and who doesn't. So the more information we have to base that decision on, the better. So provide that kind of detail. Tell us how long the person has been doing the work. You know, although it's wonderful if somebody's been doing work for 2 or 3 years, if somebody has been doing it for 20 or 30 years, well, that's probably going to be in greater stead. And then the other aspect is we want to know whether this person has been doing the work as a volunteer or as a professional. So we don't disregard professionals. In fact, we often get nominations of academic historians, for example, civil servants. They are held to a higher standard, the expectation being they've been doing this as their work, and we therefore expect that they're going to have a wonderful record of achievement. It has to go kind of above and beyond the call of duty. In other words, they really have to have stood out in their field in order to be considered. We have given the award to people like that, but they really have to have deserved it above and beyond what they would do just through their paid employment.
You guys are really serious about this.
Yeah, it's serious because there's so many wonderful people. We want to make sure we make the right choices.
Makes sense. So what are some of the demographics of the people who are usually nominated then?
Well, there are no quotas. There's no geographic quota. We don't say, for example, we want to have a certain number from Winnipeg.
In the north?
There's no ethnic criterion. There's no gender basis for it.
Okay.
The only criterion, the only one, is merit,
right?
The quality of the nomination. And among the 40 people who have received the award so far, there's really not much, I would say, in the terms of skew. But it's interesting. We have no control over who gets nominated. And if you look at the nominations, there is a very definite skew. So, for example, in terms of geography, about one-third of the nominations we've received have come from Winnipeg. The other two-thirds have come from elsewhere in Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, not the same as the trend in population. Of course, Manitoba is predominantly living in Winnipeg,
right,
but predominantly outside of Winnipeg is nominated. And then even another skew that is in terms of gender. So we get roughly two-thirds of the nominations are in favor of men, one-third in females, but in fact, when you look at it, that bias goes away. And then in terms of the recipients of the award, it turns out three-quarters of them are from outside of Winnipeg.
So you say that out of the 40 people, the gender ratio has been pretty even.
Yeah. In fact, specifically, we've recommended 18 women, 22 men to receive the award. So pretty much 50-50.
So when is the nomination just been called? When is the deadline?
Well, the deadline for this year is Friday, the 1st of March.
Oh, so you got some time.
Oh, yeah. It's got almost 2 months yet.
Right.
And if we don't receive it by that deadline, it would be held over for the following year.
Oh, so if you're late to the nomination, that can be held.
It can be held. And in fact, if your nomination is not successful this year, we can hold it over till next year as well. We do ask each year, though, for people who are being carried forward, do they wish to add more information? And I think that's the way in which a nomination can be made better, is to provide more detail. So I will be in the next little while. I am, by the way, the secretary to the committee that evaluates these. The next little while, I'll be sending out contacts to the various ones that went out last year saying, do you wish your nomination to be carried forward this year? And if so, this is your opportunity to provide more information. And I would encourage people to avail themselves of that, because, to say, we found through experience that the best single determinant of who gets the award is who has the most richly detailed nomination.
And you mentioned you're the secretary. I guess that makes you ineligible for this particular award.
It does
award.
Indeed. That's right. And anybody involved with the MHS is not eligible.
So where can we get more information about the Lieutenant Governor Awards?
Well, you can go to the Historical Society's website, right. mhs.mb.ca. Ultimately, though, if you have a question that isn't answered by the website, you can contact me. You can leave me a voicemail message at my phone, which is 204-474-7469, or you can send me email at gordon@mhs.mb.ca, and I'll be happy to answer whatever questions you may have.
Very interesting. I have to confess, I didn't know about these Lieutenant Governor Awards, and I think with all the talk about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, 103 Canadians being nominated for the Order of Canada, that we should have an interprovincial award like this. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot. So what's on for next week?
Well, next week we're going to visit an abandoned building that has people buried under its parking lot.
Spooky. Okay, I can't wait for that one. Thanks a lot, Gordon.
You're welcome, Bruce.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba.